football on Off The Ball.
So when you look at Kerry Football Club now and where we are, these are things that we've battled through for many, many years. These are obstacles that we've been willing to jump and willing to fight on through.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
The Racing Pod
on Off The Ball
with William Hill. 18 plus. See gamblingcare.ie.
And you're welcome to episode 95 of the Racing Pod on Off The Ball with John Duggan and Johnny Ward. Hope you're doing great, folks. Remember, we're here every Friday with analysis, race previews, tips, stories, interviews, a bit of crack as well. Reminder, folks, the full Off The Ball Racing Pod is now free wherever you get your pods. Johnny, how is the form?
Good, JD.
So the week that was, Spanish Harlem cost 60,000 euro. Lost his first 14 races, but he's finally got his act together. He won the Kerry National Prices 16-1 for William Mullins' horse, Danny Mullins Road.
Yeah, it was a fairly eventful renewal of the Kerry National, as you would expect, and plenty of horses coming to grief. We had 9 finishers, so half of the field either pulled up unseated or fell early on in the race. You Ought to Know went at the 10th, and some good horses as well couldn't complete. She Could Be Anything and so on. I tipped up French Dynamite in the race, and I got a great run for my money, actually. He was... He looked like he might win turning in, and I was thinking, like, Zarek McNamara's done very well with his horse from other yards. But Spanish Harlem, just given a good ride by Danny Mullins. These races are a bit mad. If you sort of stay out of trouble and get jumping and get into a rhythm and you corner the bends quite well, you can win. Like, they're kind of mad races, these staying handicap chases, particularly around a tight track like Listowel. A lot of horses have no chance. You never get into it. And if you're a punter, it can be really frustrating. But, you know, Spanish Harlem was good. 3-car Brag emerged with plenty of credit. He's not the fastest in the world, but he did run well. And, it was a fairly dramatic renewal of the race, I suppose.
Yeah, I've been watching Spanish Harlem for quite a while. He does like good ground. I thought his jumping really needed to improve, and finally they seem to have improved his jumping. He still made a few little sketchy errors, but has enough of an engine to, as you say, get around. Danny's a good front-running rider as well in these races. And we had then William Mullins, another winner then of the Lartigue hurdle on Thursday, a 15-2 shot, 7.5-1 shot with Paul Tannen riding for William Mullins. That's unusual. Last Kingdom.
Yeah, it was a really, really competitive renewal of the Lartigue, JD. I put up Money Dancer, who I was really keen to oppose in Galway. I thought she was a great lay in Galway, and she was so impressive then I put her up yesterday, and she ran no sort of race at all. So kind of the way horses can frustrate you, you oppose them one day, you tip them the next and they're no good. Last Kingdom was quite well backed, and he was one of those horses that you were kind of trying to figure out where he fitted in terms of Willie Mullins. In the, you know, he finished 7th at Galway, and he come in on the back of some solid runs, but he was quite well backed, and it was a good result for JP McManus. Put your hands together, I suppose you wouldn't say his career was off track, but he put his hurdling days back on track with a very good run. He was disappointed in the Galway hurdle. Some good efforts in the race as well. Shabuzi ran well, and I thought Lucas Tipple, interesting first start for Gavin Cromwell, didn't shape too badly, but good performance from Last Kingdom. Maybe the cheek pieces worked the trick in him. It's a very good race, the Lartigue. The Lartigue was the monorail that they had in... I guess Listowel must have been part of the track, and it's a real part of Kerry history and the 4-year-old hurdle. It's a cracking race.
A monorail.
It was the Lartigue. There was a great documentary on TG Carr. Was it Éireann Road? Bohar Éireann Road, and it was basically the history of the rail in Ireland. But one of the episodes about the Lartigue, and if you had a cow on one end of the train, you'd have to balance it with a bag of spuds the other, because it was a monorail. So like, it had to be equal weight both sides. It was like really, really unusual. I don't know why they needed a Lartigue in that part of the world, but you had to balance whatever was on the left with on the right. So if you had a lot of cattle in it, you had to have the exact number of cattle left and right. And obviously it evokes memories of the Simpsons as well.
Did you have, you must have, everybody seemed to have a railway in Ireland in the heyday of the railway. Did you have a railway in your own village at one stage?
No, funnily enough.
In Galway?
I'm from East Galway, kind of Montbellew, Ballygara, and it was one of the parts of Ireland that didn't have a railway. And if you look at the map of 1905 in Ireland, 1905 railway maps, it's incredible how the railway spanned almost everywhere. And you can imagine in the poverty, and a lot of the railways were built around the famine times by William Dargan, was kind of the chief architect. But you can imagine this railway coming in and what it meant to somebody in the back of Connemara, who could get to Dublin on different trains. Highlands in one go, or even in Kerry, like went all the way out the coast. And I do love the railway history. Like, it's funny. There's a house in Woodlawn in Galway, which is on the railway line, and it's this old, like, absolute mansion that was briefly on the market a couple of years ago. And I started looking into this Woodlawn house, and it would be an amazing, like, 5-star hotel if somebody converted. It would cost a lot of money, but the Woodlawn would probably be my most local track. But that track's only there because of the power of the man on the land, and he wanted the track to run through his land, and he wanted a station there in Woodlawn. And so that's probably my most local track. But funnily enough, I know you live beside Killiney, but we're not actually that near a railway track at home. There never was a railway track in our part of the world.
Okay, well, that's one segue to start the racing pod.
Great way to travel to races, like, and I've made this point a million times, the Curragh needs the railways. Yeah. Massively, like, I know it costs money.
Well, I'm doing this. I'm going to Killarney on Monday, the 6th of October.
I'm there as well.
The 9 o'clock train and the 7:40 train back. So I will leave Dublin in the morning. I don't know. I'll arrive Dublin before midnight. Killarney, before the pumpkin arrives.
Pretty much, you can get from Killarney to Dublin on the train faster than drive. It's one of the that particular route and the Cork route. They're quite fast, and then you also have Thurles, Limerick Junction. Particularly well suited to the train, and Dundalk is kind of well suited as well, but Killarney is a great example.
So we have this weekend, just before we get to that, a bit of sad news about Wooten Bassett. The sire died at 17 of pneumonia, so that's a blow for Ballydoyle.
Yeah, like you think kind of 17, oh well, he wasn't that young, but you know, it really only feels that Coolmore's Wooten Bassett investment is kind of really only starting now. Al Riffa obviously was brilliant last weekend, but I think this is really the year where the Wooten Bassett kind of 3-year-olds have exploded into life. And, you know, he, Champions Weekend, he would have had the winner of the Irish Ledger and also the third in the Flying Five. So incredible versatility of a sire. And it was really remarkable news because Coolmore sort of take a punt on sires that have no relationship to Galileo. So basically they have a band of mares that can go to these sires. So all of the Galileo bred mares, like, they can't go to a sire that's kind of close relative of Galileo. So Wooten Bassett was this perfect outcrop. Now they've taken examples on outcross rather, and they've taken punts on horse like Warfront before that has pretty much backfired badly. When Almanzor won the Champion Stakes in Leopardstown 10 odd years ago, Coolmore bought Wooten Bassett around that time and basically sent all their Galileo bred mares to him, and it's massively paid off. And all of a sudden then he's just passed away just like that. So they'll have plenty of more of his offspring over the next few years, but not as much as they would have thought. And it's a big blow to Ballydoyle that, because he was becoming a real superstar stallion.
Okay, so we have at the Curragh on Saturday, Good to Yielding Ground, first race at 125. The Beresford Stakes is a Group 2 for 2-year-olds, a mile race, 5 runners. It seems to be between Garion of Ger Lyon's yard and Hawk Mountain of Ballydoyle's, Aidan O'Brien's yard. So do you think it's between the two of them?
Not necessarily. I went through this race deeply this morning. I was trying to figure out an angle into it. And Hawk Mountain was very, very good when he won his maiden last time, JD. Initially, first time, he was 5th behind Geryon, who reopposes, and Hallerith, who reopposes, and Charles Fort, who reopposes. So that form, Charles Fort doesn't, but that form has really put to the test here. And he bolted up last time, beating Mr. Vittori and Port of Spain. Then Geryon was 2nd behind Constitution River, who was exceptionally good in the Futurity Stakes. I tipped up Just Do It on that occasion. Go Just Do It. He was 20-1 into 9-2. And I was so happy for much of the race, the way he travelled under Dylan Brown McMonagall. And he couldn't really get anywhere near the first two. So I feel that's solid form. But I'm just going to take a chance on Shaheen here for Dunnock O'Brien, who was 2nd to another Ballydoyle horse at Dundalk last time. But he was well backed on that occasion, and he looks like he's progressing nicely. He definitely looks the way, if you watch him racing, he looks like he just wants more experience. And he's just looking at William Hill price here now. He's 11-1 with Hill. He's a bit better available as well. You might get better than that, but I don't think he needs to improve that much to get involved in the shake-up. It's a really tricky race. Good renewal of the race.
How long does it take you to analyse a horse? 2 minutes?
When I was doing the spotlights of the Racing Post, I remember I would have been pretty fast at it. Maybe that was to my detriment as well. To be honest, an awful lot of it is the fact that you have it's storage of information in your head from previous races. That's the key to it. It's like when you're in school and if you're interested in history, it's way, way, way easier than... I wasn't interested in geography, and we didn't do history in our secondary school, and I always thought, well, that would have been... I loved history, like, but I wasn't interested in geography. And when you're interested in something, it's like, it's way, way easier to do it. And so I think...
Why didn't you do history?
We didn't have it. It wasn't in our school.
You didn't have it for the Leaving Cert?
Well, you know. And I was good at... English was the only A I got in the Leaving Cert. So if you're good at English and you've been interested in history, you're way in a hack, kind of. So
I won the All-Ireland History Quiz in my school.
Well, I'm not going to beat that.
There you go. So, in 1995.
What was your 1995? So, I was just finishing.
It was also on Blackboard Jungle that year.
Oh, my God.
We messed up. We messed up in the second. We won the first game. We messed up in the second game. But I did get 6 out of 6 in sports. So, that was obviously a...
Do you remember any of the questions?
No.
No.
Not right now.
That's incredible. So, you were a history buff.
Yeah. Oh, the history buff, we got 58 questions right out of 60.
Mm.
In the All-Ireland History Quiz in 1995. We beat all the posh schools.
Jesus. That's incredible, yeah.
Longkeen College in Dublin.
I mean, I wouldn't have been able to compete with that. It's interesting, well, the history on the curriculum, how important it is in terms of forming, like, the mindset of, like, it can be used to, like, put nationalistic tendencies into kids if the curriculum's a certain way. Like, the old Free State curriculum would have been very, like, British leaning, and then it completely changed. Like, so it's funny how, like, you kind of can be a little bit.
When I started studying history in school, it was 1870 is when I started. So Irish history and then European history. So Irish history would be 1870. So obviously, what's the first thing I would do? But it's the IRB, it's the Phoenix Park murders, it's Republican, it's the GAA being established, it's the build up to 1916. It's the War of Independence, it's the Civil War, and then it's post that. So it's all, that's it. Because that's what happened. But it's interesting because you'd imagine what's being taught in Russia right now, for example.
Absolutely. And even states like Israel or that, like, you know, when kids have a different mindset. But it's funny, I was taught, like, a lot of things in school and religion and all of that, but I wasn't taught history.
Okay. Yes,
there we go.
So the Goff's Million.
But my point is, how long does it take you? It's much, much easier if you have an interest in it. So, and if you can remember the form of the last thing.
You know, and watching the races.
Yeah, and watching the race. Yeah. And if you're physically there, it does make a difference. Like, but the problem I have with race now is that I'm not immersed in it day to day like I used to be just through work.
But can it be like the soaps where you just pick it up?
I don't think it is, to be honest. I think you need to, like, if when I was doing spotlights for the Racing Post, that they were the odds and the analysis of the horses that went into the betting shop displays and the Racing Post itself, like, you were so much advantage because you were doing it day in, day out. You knew your prices. It was really like you became a bit of an expert. Whereas now it's harder because I'm just not in it day to day to be quite as deep in. So it'll take me longer to look at a horse and try to place where he ran the last day.
The Goff's Million then, 7 furlongs, 30 runners at the Curra, 3:45 on Saturday, composing an odds-on shot in a 30-runner race.
Yeah.
Does that put pressure on Ronan Whelan?
I suppose it does, but, like, this is the right type of pressure for him, and this is a race that's... The whole incentive for running this is... It's not for everyone, but to be fair, we've a very good field this year, 30 runners, and it's actually a proper race as well. Composing is a very good horse. I just was disappointed with her the last day, JD. I put her up as my nap here.
She led it. I don't know if they wanted to lead with her.
Yeah, that day there was
a headwind.
It was actually one of the rare days where I really looked into the wind conditions for a race meeting. And when I looked at it and I looked at the Curra on Google Maps, I was like, this is going to be a crosswind. But whatever way it worked out, it was basically a headwind that day, and the jockey spoke about it. If you're out in front, I can't get my head around, like, as somebody who cycles occasionally, how the wind isn't more of a factor in horse racing, because it's absolutely massive. If you're in a car and you're behind a car in the dual carriageway and you have an electric car, watch how you're using so little power because you're being dragged. The air is being sucked by the car in front of you. If you're a cyclist and you're in the pack, you can basically do things like way, way easier. Out in front is way harder. But in horse racing, it seems to be an advantage. I still can't really figure that out. Maybe it's because the horses are so strong. But if you have a headwind and you're running straight into a headwind, that obviously can be a disadvantage. And it might be that composing just wasn't at her best on that occasion. But do you want to back an 8 to 11 shot in a 30 run race?
I'm not trying to find an each way horse.
I'm going with, what did you like?
Take Charge Star. Johnny Murta is flying and has been the target.
Yeah.
A 2-year-old. I think having spoken to him here a couple of weeks ago for the pod, he's somebody I want to be on the right side of going forward as a trainer.
Yeah, he's an infectious kind of manner about him. Actually, since he was on as well, his horses have been in great form.
Yeah.
really good form. And this horse is definitely interesting. I'd be like you, sort of looking for some angle into the race. Stop the Nation is one I thought was interesting, given how he travelled at the Curra last time. But I ended up going with Phenomenal Filly, who is
Paddy Toomey's horse.
22-1, top price, William Hill, four places each way. The reason I put this horse up is stables at a 31% this season or whatever. And the form, actually, I like the horse's pedigree. The form of the race at Leopardstown is fine. This has been the target since, so it's a 79-day plan since then to run in this race and pick up. And Paddy Toomey's done really well in these sales races. And if she progresses a bit, she can finish thereabouts. I wouldn't be mad on, as much as Composing should win, she should have been better the last day and she wasn't.
I would never be, although, look, this is maybe not the best example of a race, but if you have like a big field and a horse is 4-1 or 5-1 and it's seemingly way better,
yeah,
forget about the number of runners in it.
Yeah, yeah.
Like Cork Rambler winning the Grand National, bolted up in the Grand National at what, I think 6-1 favourite or something like that. Tiger Roll the second time around. Like there was a horse called Savota in 2010. Ruby Walsh came up to a bookmaker's box and it was Woody Mullen's horse and he said, look, this horse, you know, will win. It was like 15 years ago. And I think I was going to myself, that's 24 runners. That's too many runners. Won by 9 lengths, 7-2.
Yeah.
So forget about the number of runners sometimes.
Yeah, I'd be with that as well. I suppose with her, she's 8-11. She disappointed the last day and fillies obviously can have their off days. I remember talking to a trainer lately and he was saying I wouldn't be backing a filly at that sort of a price, they just because they're maybe more prone to just having natural off days than the colts, who are also capable of their off days. But you're taking a chance, like as well as that, with the field size here over the distance, the potential for trouble in running is definitely there. It's definitely there. So it's a bit risky, but I to be honest, I've still no problem backing a horse in a handicap at a short price if I think he's masses in hand. But she's rated 108, which doesn't give her masses in hand.
Listowel on Saturday, good yielding ground. The feature race in terms of money anyway is the Charlie Hughes Memorial Handicap Chase, 2 miles, 6 furlongs, 13 runners. El Shampoo for Philip Rothwell won at Tremor last time out, only carrying 10 stone six with Turning Power Roach on board. Antrim Coast having a first run for Henry de Bromhead has been knocking on the door. A similar story with We've All Been Caught for Eric McNamara, first run for him. The owner had Real Steel. This horse is coming from England. And Real Steel was bought by the owner and won a Leopardstown chase, Paddy Power chase at Christmas. So, but yeah, look, it's a tricky one. It's a tricky one to work out. I think often in these races, unless you've got one of the big yards, you're looking for maybe a horse that's got a lower weight.
Yeah, and you mentioned Henry de Bromhead. There was a piece with him in the Irish Times today on Friday with Jen Hogan, and that was in relation to Heather and Henry are helping out to... It's the Jack de Bromhead Equine Centre on the Child Vision Campus in Drumcondra. So this was the launch. This is a beautiful piece if you want to read about, you know, overcoming and dealing with the grief of losing Jack and the beautiful kids that they have and horses, ultimately how horses have been such a healing factor. And that's a lovely piece. So Henry does have stable recruit Antrim Coast here, who's been... Actually, I think I was at Killarney when he was second to What's Up Darling. He's rated 124 now. Whether or not he can improve out of Gavin Cromwell's, we shall see. I thought this was a tricky race, JD. And you mentioned Eric McNamara. I do feel he might be the key to the race because he just has those two horses who are coming in, both making their first starts for him. Supreme Gift and a really interesting runner. We've all been caught under Danny, who you mentioned earlier. It's definitely not a race I'd be getting too hectic about, but We've All Been Caught as one to monitor in the betting.
We've All Been Caught in life. Newmarket Good to Firm Saturday, the Middle Park Stakes, Group 1 over 6 furlongs for 2-year-olds. Wise approach, the market leader, but there is market support for the Publican Son, who is trained by Joseph O'Brien, second at 40-1 on debut at the Curra. Wise approaches at 5 runs, third in the pre-morning at Deauville last time. What's your view on 2-year-olds with loads of experience versus the kind of the unexposed types? Like, for example, Hilitani would be unexposed, but is one at a lower level. So you want the unexposed types or do you want the exposed types with the experience?
Yeah, it's a lot of it depends on the price as well. But it's a good question. It's hard to figure out these races at times because you could have a horse for Aidan O'Brien's who's run once but has like literally 20 pounds of improvement in him because he's by Galileo or the way he's trained. Then you'll have more professional 2-year-olds who are basically ready to roll early. And that's a factor in this race because Aidan actually runs horses who've, particularly Kansas, have loads of experience. Like he's they're both by Wooden Bassett, Kansas and Brussels, and he's not afraid to run them. You know, Brussels having his fifth start already, Kansas seventh or eighth, and they're both of pretty much high ranking. I thought the race itself was maybe more open than the betting would suggest, because Wise approached the short price. The Publican Son, this was part of a few horses they recruited from America based on the data of the horses over there, I think, in terms of their breeze up. He was 40-1 in Group 3 first time out, but managed to finish second. And he's by a sire, Bo Leem, who I have to say I'd never heard of. But he actually was only Group 3 placed, this horse. But he's gone to stud, and the Publican Son looks promising. Oisin Murphy, fresh from Listowel, rides. Apparently all is well with the horse now. He has come in the betting, but he's definitely danger to New Wise Approach.
The Cambridgeshire, a 1 mile run furlong at Newmarket on Saturday, 24 runners. So there's money for two of them as we record this on Friday. Boiling Point, and if I can pronounce this correctly, Marhaba Gayath. So Boiling Point is a 4-year-old who was touched off in a Group 3 at York last time out. And the connections, exactly the same connections, trainer, jockey and owner, Carl Burke, won this last year. Marhaba, that horse, only a 3-year-old, has just been gelded. Treble T, the favourite, coming off a win at Doncaster. Fifth Column won at York and might appreciate the extra furlong. I like this one. Westridge won a good one on his penultimate start. Fort George is a young, lightly raced horse who's a course winner, and as Oisin Murphy is riding well on board. So this is competitive, but that's reflected in the prices.
Yeah, it's quite a unique trip as well, the Milan 1. Like, the Milan 2 is that intermediate, and the Milan 1 is just, I'd say it might be the only Premier Handicap run over a Milan 1 furlong, or maybe this is the only course in distance, but it probably just stretches those milers a bit. I like Treble T, JD, though. This was the target for him after Doncaster, when he'd so much in hand. Oisin Murphy rode him that day. Kieran Schumark rides tomorrow, who was second at Goodwin Tribal Chiefs. Just listen to connections afterwards. The only thing he's kind of getting into a racehorse now, he's only a 3-year-old. It's very hard to think he's not well handicapped. And just looking, William Hill will pay 5 each way places. Plenty of a chance. It's a really, really cracking renewal.
Okay, that's the Cambridgeshire at Newmarket on Saturday. Good to firm ground. Sunday, the Curra, we have the Renaissance Stakes, a 6-furlong race with 11 runners. Big Gossy, a horse you just love to have. He's been in the top 3 in 24 of his 60 races on the flash. It was second last time out, Big Gossy.
Ah, yeah, what a racehorse. And just loves the Curra. So, like, coming back here, he's obviously trained locally. I mean, he was even 22-1 the last day at the Curra in the big sprint. And you can back him at all sorts of prices. I tipped him up earlier in the year when he was second at 25-1. I think I tipped him then another day. It was the only day he's ever disappointed, nearly, behind Go Atletico. But that generally he gives his running, and 8 years of age, he's a cracking stick. Tricky little race this, because my mate Alfie put in 7-2, down massively in class after that run.
Won the race last year.
Yeah, and ran behind Big Mojo the last day, but this is probably more more realistic, I suppose, for him. And Spycatcher coming over, I greatly respect. Like, our sprinters generally are probably a bit much of a muchness. He was a little bit disappointed the last day at the Curra, but he should have a chance. I'd probably give a chance to Vesper Tillo. I just really like her as well.
William McCreary, the Gaelic footballer.
Who was such a good Gaelic footballer in his day. Second to Sky Majesty at Naas last time. I don't exactly know what her ideal trip is, but 6 furlongs is fine. She's been very reliable. And at 9-1, I think Hills are the first to price in, or thereabouts. Actually, it's not Hills, but she's 9-1 elsewhere. I think she'll give a good account for herself. And should mention Fragada as well, who's better than that run the last day for Johnny Feen.
The one I picked out was Queen of Mugans, if that's the way to pronounce it. About 8-1. So horse won quite readily on her penultimate start of the course and distance. So forgive the last run. I think she could be definitely an each way option.
And Adrian Murray, very good line to sprinters.
The Irish Cesarevich, 2 mile, 1 furlong, 30 runners. So if you're having a go at maybe the Cambridgeshire and Cesarevich double, it might be kind of a nice September, late September double for you folks. This is wide open. You've got a Galway QR handicap winner in Filey Bay in the colours of JB McManus. You've got a Royal Ascot winner in Ascending. You've got a Royal Bond winner in Toon Savader. You've got a top juvenile hurdle horse in 6.5. Where'd you go here? You got Willie Mullins with horses that are decent prices. Ben Cohen riding one of them. Who won it? Is it Sirius who won it at Galway in the summer at big price? So hard to work this one out. I mean, it's one, some of these hurdle horses, how could they maybe adapt to the flash? 6.5 didn't do the best the last day.
God, yeah, what an absolute minefield. Like, the full field of 30. Interesting if you're calling this race as a race goer. At least it's run over a distance. But to get all the colours right. And
Gerry Hannan.
Gerry Hannan is going to have an interesting challenge on his hand. And you look at Small Fry. First start for Joseph O'Brien was with Gary and Josh Moore. Won at 83 at Epsom over a mile and a half. And slots in here now off... rating of 92, got £9, but quite unexposed. And you're kind of thinking, like, what horses have been laid out for this race? Massive prize money, $324,000. You'd hope the Curragh would get a good crowd for a race like this as well. I know it's been said in the past that this doesn't really, attract people to race, but I love these handicaps. Aidan O'Brien has these really competitive, lucrative staying handicaps in the flat. Aidan O'Brien targeted with the Euphrates last year. Mr. Waterville won it for him 2 years previously, who was quite well handicapped. Magellan straight for Joseph the year in between. The O'Brien's a very good record in it. At the moment, JD, I actually think I'd have to look at this race more to come up with something. I would keep an eye on 6.5, who, based on what she's done over hurdles, she should be very interesting. Of 93, absolutely bombed at the Curragh the last time. She was only 6-4 favourite that day. Has Gavin Cromwell got her back right to win this off 93? Very interesting runner.
If you won the Euro Millions, would you buy a flat horse or a jumps horse?
Oh, a flat. Because, like, the market to sell a flat horse, if you want to be quite, cold about it, is there, where basically you can go to the Middle East, you can go to Hong Kong, you can go to the States. The National Hunt selling market is way, way smaller. It's practically Ireland at this stage. And as the years have gone on, I've gotten way more into the flat than National Hunt. I'm not mad on the way the National Hunt game has gone in recent years. And that's just a kind of a product of different things, but it just doesn't seem like, when Brave Inca passed away, I was thinking back in that era, that seems like forever ago that you could have all those different characters involved with small yards where it's, and Cheltenham, I think, has had, I know they've announced this week that they're dropping the beer price.
To 7.50.
Yeah.
Wow.
To be fair, like, I actually don't think, like, it's been as pointed out in the Racing Post, like,
then they get a 7.50 in Dublin now for
it's not a bad thing to do, and they're making reasonable changes, like, but I think Cheltenham has lost a lot of its magic in recent years.
It became too successful almost, Cheltenham. Now they've capped the attendance at 66,000. The guy running it, Guy Lavender, now seems to have his head screwed on and did a good job at cricket, so I will be interested to report back next March if I go. And if there's one race you'd love to win as an owner, it doesn't matter, because if you unlimited money, if you won the Euro Millions, what would be the race be?
Irish Champion Stakes.
Right.
Yeah. I just love that race. Pretty much my local track now in Leopardstown. So
have you ever had your colours picked out in your head?
Would it be maroon? I already have colours, yeah.
Now, were they syndicate colours?
No, I've my own colours. If you look up a horse called Sabras, S-B-R-A-A-S-S-C, I think when he won a few times, he was the only horse I've won with a couple of horses, but green, black and white. And it's funny, the cycle with the three lads in Terran Yore, and when they were deciding on colours for our silks, they're the exact same as my racing colours, purely by coincidence.
Sabras here, so where did he win?
He won at Sligo, and he won a couple of times in England, and he won in Sligo. Black and green colours.
Okay. Yeah, that's, I have it here. That's, yeah. These are colours.
They're sporadically seen. I've never actually seen, I think I've had a racehorse win.
Sean McInbird, is that
Sean McInward, yeah.
Is that your Irish for you?
Yeah. I'd love to see my colours carried to victory, but basically don't get involved in owning horses. Jesus. If you're on about buying a horse and waste some money, like.
18th of June 2019, Sabras, 9-4 favourite, won. At Sligo,
the first day he won, actually. So I got him out of a claimer, and I was in. He was due to run, I think, in Wolverhampton, right? So you can probably see it there. He was due to run in Wolverhampton, first start for Gavin Cromwell, and I obviously owned the horse at this stage because I'd gotten him out of a claimer in Sligo for $4,000. So basically, a horse goes into a claimer, you can bring him home that day if you claim him, which I did for $4,000. His next run was like the first day, I think, of the Galway races. So I got the train down to Galway, best value in the world, by the way, at the moment, trains in Ireland, and got into the cab, and your man is like, are you off to the races? I am. And I'd been talking to Gavin anyway, and he was like, yeah, he's very short now. Like, he's a chance. But he was running this crappy race. I think Robert Winston rode him in Wolverhampton. And at this stage, he was about 7-4 or something. I hadn't him backed. I just thought it was quite short, and the prize money will be something if he wins. But Gavin, like, wasn't filling me with loads of confidence anyway. Cut into the taxi anyway, and like, what do you like, or whatever? And he goes, just have word for one in Wolverhampton. I was like, have you? Yeah. Sabras. I was like, geez, I own
your own horse.
I own him. I don't have any word for him. And then anyway, so I went into the betting shop at the track in Galway, and I think it was the Monday, if not the Tuesday, but I think it was the Monday. And Sabras was running anyway. And like, he got up to win by about a head or a neck.
Neck, it says, like, here in the racing post.
Yeah. And like, I think Gavin had a winner already on the card or something. It seemed like everyone in the Ladbrokes tent, it was Ladbrokes, right? Everyone in the tent had backed him. Everyone had backed him except me, because I thought he was too short in the betting. But he got up and won on the line. There we go. The taxi man was on him.
The day that Johnny Ward's horse won, but Johnny wasn't on it.
Well, as I said, I've always wanted to have a winner race week in Galway, even if it happened to be in...
So why did you choose? So is it a green with a black sash and black arms?
Just like green and black, yeah.
Right, so there's no kind of sentimental reason for the colours?
No, and it's a lot of fun, like, when you're... If you want to get into a syndicate, or you get into racehorse ownership, HRI have this, like a little thing where... Like, when I was a kid, I used to... When I first started using computers, and I was 13 and 14, I loved designing jerseys, like football jerseys. And I thought this was the best thing ever. And the most obvious thing in racehorse ownership is you can do that. And the colours are probably there.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah.
Okay. There's the brass center. He was a great little stick.
Okay. Johnny Ward's horse ownership tales. And maybe there's another chapter to go.
There's a chapter. I mean, I'd say the problem I have, JD, and a lot of people listening in will relate to this. The first horse I was involved in, like my first bet or whatever, he turned out to be brilliant. Like, he was cost very little, and he brought us to all of these big meetings. It was the best time of my life, really. But unfortunately, I've had about a dozen stories since that have mainly been very, very
negative. What was the first one?
Operation Houdini, who was just a really good staying handicap chaser for his grade. It took him an age to win. But it was more the fact that he was with a small trainer, and we were all, basically all of the syndicate were friends, and we were at that time in our life, in our 20s, late 20s, early 30s, where we...
Ara, will you stop syndicate?
The Ara, will you stop syndicate. So Ara, will you stop is kind of like this Galway way of saying, oh, will you stop? Like, will you? You know, and that was John Walsh who came up with that name.
Don Deasy said that to Ashley.
Yeah, will you stop? Like, so... myself and Don both be from Galway, we can relate to that. Will you stop? Ara, will you stop was what, you know, it was basically our way of, because we were all punters, it was our way of summing up, like, life in general at that time. And I must mention John Walsh, he came up with the name. John was an unbelievable character. He was the heart and soul of that syndicate, and he passed away since. And he was the one that got me involved in that race. So, John, if you're listening in, I have a lot to blame you for in subsequent life, because it got me into racehorse ownership. But it's you really want to have your head screwed on and be ready for bad news. That's the big thing. Be ready. It's very expensive. Prize money's rubbish, and be ready for bad news. When it works out, it's brilliant.
Yeah,
like, it really is. It is, like, I haven't seen my colours carried to victory, but as a syndicate member, the first day Operation Houdini won, I mean, I'll never forget, ever forget those days. Like, and it wasn't even so much that we won money on it. It was being there with your friends and just the absolute hysteria of the time and the crack we had, and seeing this racehorse come in, you know, after giving everything for you to land a few bets and all of that in Punchdown. It was magic. Never forget it.
Okay, we got Dave Connor of William Hill on the line. How are you, Dave?
I'm very well, thank you. How are you, chaps?
Yeah, not too bad. Thanks, Dave. So where is the money going? So, I mean, what's the big... Is the Cambridgeshire, is that the big betting race of the weekend for you?
Oh, without a doubt it is. You can get 7 places on the race with William Hill's new Each Way Extra as well. Of course, you can go in the extra place book and take Best Odds Guarantee. We're seeing a really good spread of business. As you would expect, I think, in the Cambridgeshire, cash is currently the worst result in the live book, but Antipost, Tribal Chief and Westridge... were the worst results, and it is a wide open market, as you would anticipate. 11-2 the field, with Treble T at the top of the betting in the hands of Kieran Schumark. Fifth Column's in there at 13-2. Westridge is in there at 8-1. It's 10-1 Fort George. Boiling Point 11-1. Greek Order is 12-1, and it's bigger the remainder. So really, from a betting perspective, Westridge is a bad result for William Hill, and cash is pretty popular in the live book as well.
What about the Middle Park Stakes then? We have Publican Sun coming over from Ireland.
Yeah, Nick Luck really fancies this. One of our racing ambassadors fancies the Publican Sun to win the race. Currently in the betting at 4-1. This is the race in which lots of multiples will be framed around Wise Approach, who appears to have the best form in the book. But you couldn't help but be taken with the Publican Sun and that performance on debut. I thought it was an outstanding run. To finish second on debut was very, very good. And I thought the Publican Sun was very interesting, having been pitched into that Group 3 at the Curragh. And it wasn't maybe the strongest of Group 3 contests, but to finish second there at 40-1, I thought he could step forward. And maybe Wise Approach is a little bit too skinny in the market, 11-10. And I quite like the Publican Sun, who's in the betting at 4-1 with William Hill.
What do you like in the Cambridgeshire? What's your each-way selection?
You know what, in the Cambridgeshire, I quite like Fort George, who I think would go well. Obviously, really progressive, trained by Ed Walker. Oshie Murphy takes the ride and has just improved with each and every start. He's up another £9 in the handicap for the Cambridgeshire, but Fort George would be my each-way pick at 10-1 personally. We're actually top price at 10-1 on Fort George currently.
Yeah, Oshie Murphy's a good line. He rode both him and Treble T last time. Who do you think will go off favourite, Dave?
I think Treble T will go off favourite, just about. I expect the cash to come for Fifth Column as well.
Yeah.
Just because he's got that kind of sexy profile in the race, hasn't he? 3-year-old, progressing, landed a handicap at York last time out, likely to step forward again. So I think Fifth Column will be quite popular come race time. But I think Treble T will just shade favouritism on the off.
The Goss Millions, an odd race in Ireland at the Curragh on Saturday, Dave, and that you've got an odds-on shot in a 30-runner field composing.
It's bizarre, isn't it? Yeah. And I think he's... I mean, composing has probably got to be odds-on, given that she's got by far and away the best form in the race and only beaten three lengths in the Moyglare, that Group 1 last time out. So I think she's got to be strong favourite. I just... yeah, wins when I think about taking 4-6 about a horse in a 30 runner field. But I guess there'd be some each way in the race. With each way extra, you can get more places on some of the supporting acts, if you like, behind composing. And I thought there were maybe... There's been a couple that have been nibbled out with William Hill. August George is one of those, 50-1. And Phenomenal Philly, who's 22-1. Those are the two that have attracted bits and pieces this morning. And I thought Phenomenal Philly at 22-1, if you're looking at more places with each way extra, she was good from the front of Leopardstown on her second start. And the form of the debut run has obviously worked out well. She finished behind composing, but she's had fewer starts than composing. And I thought I'd take a chance with her each way potentially.
As is Johnny, so great minds think alive, Dave. Phenomenal filly. Yeah. Hopefully she lives up to her name.
I'm going to give that in hour in time as my charity bet, actually. Why not? Yeah, yeah, at each way at 22-1.
We'll do the grand reveal in a moment. the grand reveal. But you've just given us a spoiler.
Might as well go for a bigger price.
Beresford Stakes, 1 mile for five runners at the Curragh. It's probably good between Hawk Mountain and Geryon, is it? Or Geryon, whatever way you want to pronounce it, Dave, in the Group 2.
Yeah, they're very tight in the top of the betting, that pair. Geryon just shading favouritism at 11-8. 6-4, Hawk Mountain. Port of Spain, 17-2. Al Harith is 10-1, 11-1. Cheyenne. I guess it's how much do you believe Hawk Mountain has improved from race 1 to race 2. Aidan O'Brien's won two of the last five runnings. Very quiet betting market. We barely laid a bet in the outright as things stand. If you think the O'Brien colt has improved, it is obviously reflected in the betting. Has the form to turn around with Geryon, but I could see the market flipping to Hawk Mountain on the off here. And I think even though he's got a little bit to find, we know that Aidan O'Brien leaves plenty to work on race 1 to race 2 to race 3, and I can see Hawk Mountain improving past Geryon.
The Irish Tsarevich might be too soon for a tissue yet, Dave, but you've got a wide-open race there with Fidey Bay, Toon Savator, 6.5, Ascending, all in there on Sunday.
Yeah, this is another one of those where it will be a get-seven places with each way extra, so it'll be one of those where you'll be looking at those each way extra extra markets. We have just gone up, actually.
Oh.
9-1 the field.
Wow.
So Happy Pharaoh, 6.5. Tunis Vater, all 9-1. Co-favorites of 3. Ascending, Light as Air, both 10-1. Filey Bay, 11-1. I think we went up about half an hour ago on this race. And one of our racing ambassadors, 6.5 for Gavin Cromwell, is a very interesting runner. Having run at the Curra in that race to the Ebor handicap, one of those premier handicaps, finished down the field on that occasion. But I think there was plenty of work to do with 6.5, and I'd expect 6.5 to run a much better race. I think she's been targeted at this Irish Cesaro, which so it'll be really interesting to see how she goes on the day. 6.5 at 9-1.
Okay, definitely one for the notebook, Dave. Thanks so much. Johnny, your charity bet. So repeat for the listeners, you're going to go 25 each way or 50 in the nose?
25 each way, phenomenal filly in the Goffs race on Saturday at the Curra. And obviously, you know, if you finish in the first four here, I think we'll get the offer. You get a nice profit for the charity.
Yeah, so 25 each way, phenomenal filly, the 345 of the Curra in the Goffs Million on Saturday at 22-1. Each way bet for Johnny Ward here on the pod. That is our charity bet this week. Dave Callender, thanks so much, man, and best of luck at the weekend.
Appreciate it. Enjoy it. Good racing this weekend.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, Dave. Yeah, looking forward to it. So maybe some small each way doubles. And that was episode 95 of the Racing Pod. Thank you so much, Johnny.
Cheers, Judy.
Johnny Ward there. Reminder, folks, the full Off the Ball Racing Pod is free wherever you get your pods. We're back next week. We'll look forward to having your company then.
The Racing Pod
on Off the Ball
with William Hill, 18+. See gamblingcare.ie.